Greetings to everyone joining us for a new episode of the European Hoops Podcast. We cover the EuroLeague and the top FIBA events. I am André, and with me, our basketball expert, Diogo Valente.
Hi, André. Hi, guys. Hope everything is okay with y'all. We are here for another episode of the European Hoops Podcast. Hopefully, you guys stay with us and tune in for the rest of our episodes. André, let us know, man. What are we talking about today?
Today, we have a Turkish episode of the European Hoops Podcast. Two high-level teams that have been on the top of the EuroLeague during the last season. Some that very recently were defending champions. Another team in Fenerbahce that is trying to compete to become a EuroLeague champion. And that comes into this season as the team that last year I picked as my early favorite to be a contender. A lot has happened ever since, but the way that they got eliminated in the playoffs, I think that they are a team that is poised to come out into this edition of the EuroLeague swinging and looking to fight, to contend, and to look to be one of the title contenders. But let's find out if they will be able to do that. Are you ready for this episode, Diogo?
Yeah, absolutely. We love our rivalries here in EuroLeague, so we already had Olympiacos and Panathinaikos, so let's go to Turkey and talk about Efes and Fenerbahce for sure.
And that episode was a great one, and this one for sure will also be a very, very good one. On the way out for Fenerbahce, we had Kostas Antetokounmpo, Devin Booker, we had Carson Edwards, players that we already talked about some of them that will be playing for another EuroLeague teams. The team will be led by coach Dimitris Itoudis, but it's a team that brought many new names heading into this season, but also kept names that were part of this roster last year, like Nick Calatis, Will Bukin, Dorsey, Deshaun Pierre, Marco Guduric, Nigel Hayes-Davis, and Jonathan Motley. When last year I said that this is a team that is poised to come and to be at least, at the very least, a Final Four contender, I expected them to go out and to be able to add some strong pieces to this team. And you told us about their need to reinforce the guard position. Do you think that they did enough and that they will be at that level?
I think they did good, but not enough. I believe Yam Madar is a very good option for them because I think it's a nice mix with Kalaric, because Kalaric is more of an older guy and plays slower, a lot of 5-on-5 half-court offense, a lot of pick and roll, and he's not really a threat to shoot the ball. And Yam Madar can bring that energy to the team. He can try to speed the games up because they have the pieces to do that. And unlike Kalaric, he is actually a pretty decent shooter. So I believe they did a good job, but is it enough? I don't know. How do you feel about your early prediction since we're at it?
Well, I feel that the other teams were able to add plenty. So Fenerbahce won't have an easy season, but I do think that they will be up there. I feel comfortable with my early prediction, and I think that this is a team that not only was able to add some interesting pieces, but mostly having Scotty Wilbekin healthy and have another year under Dimitris Itoudis with this core of players together, it's a team that intrigues me. And let's look to the players that they add. And you already hinted one of them in Madar. We had bad news with Raul Neto during the World Cup. And unfortunately, he had a pretty serious injury. And there is a chance that he will be missing this season. Another player that this Fenerbahce team was able to add was Artur Žagars, that won't be playing for Fenerbahce this season, but has a clause in his contract that will allow Fenerbahce to call him in at any time if they need him. This is a player that everybody should keep an eye on. He showed great things in the World Cup, and he certainly is a player that has EuroLeague talent. But let's look into the players that this Fenerbahce team added: Cestina, Sertac Shanley, and Giorgio Papagiannis. How do you think that they will be able to fit? And mostly, what do you think that they will be adding to this team? And is Shanley the type of big that can stretch the floor that at times we spoke that this Fenerbahce team could use?
Yeah, I believe Shanley was the most important signing out of these three. because of his ability to stretch the floor. No, it's not like he's an elite shooter, but he can shoot well enough to be able to stretch that floor for when Nikolaidis is playing, but also to allow Jonathan Motley to play the four sometimes, because he's naturally a four. So I believe Shanley will be very important for this Fenerbahce team. And then Papagiannis, I think he will be able to add defensively, protecting the rim and guarding the paint. And Sestina is a versatile forward who can play inside and out. He's a very good shooter. And I think he will provide some quality minutes behind Nigel Hayes-Davis and Deshaun Pierre. So I believe this team as a whole is very strong on both sides of the floor. And obviously, Coach Itudis is amazing as well. So they have a chance to be a very good EuroLeague team.
If Fenerbahce brings continuity heading into this season, and that is one of the reasons why I'm betting on them to be one of the top contenders of this edition of the EuroLeague, a team that had some big changes were the former champions of the EuroLeague, Efes, that bring a new head coach in Erdem Can, with Ataman leaving and joining Panathinaikos. And other players that left the team were Mabai, Danson, Singleton, and more importantly, Vasily Micic, their MVP contender. They were able to keep Will Clyburn, that for us was the best player of the EuroLeague last season, and they kept a strong core of players of Shane Larkin, Rodrigue Babois, Elijah Bryant, Zizic, and Plyce. And to this core of players, they added some high-level players. And we start with Darius Thompson. That was one of the positive surprises of last edition of the EuroLeague. Will Darius Thompson be a big enough replacement to Vasily Micic on this edition for this FS team? And also, let's mention Holat that comes and joins this FS team. It's another player that they signed during this offseason, and that gave very good signs of his abilities during the World Cup. Are these two players good enough replacements for Micic?
I believe Micic is a better player than Darius Thompson. But I think in terms of fit, I think Darius Thompson can fit better with Shane Larkin and Will Clyburn. And what I mean by this is, it's not like Micic couldn't pass, but he would look to score the ball a lot, and the ball would stuck it with him a lot of the times, because Adaman would have him running pick and rolls for basically every possession. So I believe Micic can pass, but I think Darius Thompson is a more willing passer. And considering that the coach is not Adaman anymore, I believe they will run kind of a different play style. And I think Darius Thompson will fit better with Shane Larkin and Will Clyburn. As far as Olatz, I think he's a very interesting guard. And like you said, he showed his quality during the World Cup. I think he might be able to provide him some quality minutes off the bench, but obviously they are stacked at the guard position. So I don't know if the consistent play time will be there, but if it is, I think he is very capable of helping them during this season. So I think these two guys will be able to replace what Micic was able to bring to them, because Micic would score more, but I think these guys will help Shane and Will Clyburn score the ball a lot more easier. So I think they're going to be, they might be better with Darius Thompson than they were with Micic.
I couldn't agree more with that. I think that this team, this backcourt is better now. And it's always a tricky thing to say when an MVP is leaving a team. It's not, they were very good with him, and certainly they would love to have Micic on this team. I just think that Darius Thompson and even Holatz, they with Bobois on the mix, they become such a good defensive backcourt. And if Larkin can play at his peak and be such a high-level offensive contributor as we have seen him being in the past, with players like Elijah Bryant as well that can play both sides of the court, I think we will see a different FS, and this will allow them to maximize the roster that they have. I think it's a better constructed roster, we can call it like that, with pieces fitting very well together, because you have Larkin, Babois, you have Bryant, you have Clyburn, you have Holtz, you have Darius Thompson. You have several players that can contribute, that can play. And you can play bigger, you can play smaller, and you will never drop in terms of quality. And another player that comes in and that fits right in into what they need in a position that at times they could have used another option. They were needing another player that could contribute in this position is Derek Willis. Do you think that Derek Willis will be big for this IFS team during this season?
I think he's going to be very good. And like you said, it's a position that they didn't really figure out during the last season. At times, maybe we thought the answer would be Will Clyburn playing the four, but it didn't really work out last season. And not only about Will Clyburn playing the four, just the whole season in general for FS.
Yeah,
didn't really work
out.
Let me
interrupt you. The problem wasn't Clyburn playing the four.
Yeah, not at all.
They needed him in other positions as well.
Exactly. but yeah, I think Willis can be that guy at the forward spot, at the power forward. He's a versatile player. He has very good shooting splits for his career, and I think he can help FS win games. He can stretch the floor as a four, and I think that will be very helpful when you have guys like Shane Larkin and Darius Thompson who drive a lot, and Will Clyburn who plays a lot in the post. So I think defenses will kind of be a bit closed. They're going to try to close the paint. So having a guy who can stretch the floor like Willis will be very important for this team.
I'm very excited about this FS team, I have to be honest, because it was a team that was up there and had such a hard season last year. And it's not only that I think that they will bounce back, it's that they are restructuring themselves. They're bringing in a new coach and a coach that proven himself of being a high-level coach and a very, very, very good coach last season. And they bring in some exciting players. And the last player that we will be talking today that they brought heading to this season is Ty Jones, a big man that will bring energy and incredible physicality and leaping ability. How good do you think that Jones can be at the EuroLeague level?
I think he can be very good. And I think one thing that will help him a lot is the relationship already that he has with the coach, because obviously last season with Turk Telecom, they were together. So I think there's going to be a continuity there. Ty Jones is a beast in the paint. He had an amazing season last year, and I think he deserves this EuroLeague opportunity. He will bring physicality, like you said, rebounding and inside scoring. So I think he's going to be very good. Efes has kind of lacked a center that would give them something offensively. And I believe Ty Jones can do that, even if it's just feeding off of the ability of Darius Thompson and Shane to drive and give it to him in the paint. I think he's going to be just fine. And I think he's going to thrive in this EuroLeague opportunity.
I'm calling it, you. I think that Efes will be back and they will be competing at a very high level. And before I give you the chance to tell me if you agree or disagree with me, I think that their offseason was very good. I think I believe on Ken being a good EuroLeague coach, and I'm very excited about how they can make this team fit. They have more in the front court with Jones, and then they kept Plyce and Zizic that are proven assets at the EuroLeague level. Willis was for me a piece that they were really lacking last season and will be able to contribute for this FS team. And then the continuity of this core of players of Clyburn, of Bryant and Larkin, with players like Beaubois on the mix. And then when you add to this Darius Thompson, you add all its. I just think that they pushed the right buttons during this offseason, and I don't have them as favorites to win this edition of the EuroLeague, but I have them as a team that will come from a very hard season where they had a lot of pressure and they weren't able to perform at the level that they had to. And with the right pieces being added to it, I have them as a team that will be one of the more entertaining teams to watch, but not only in the sense that they have the potential to play good basketball. I think that they will be able to compete with the top teams of this EuroLeague. Where do you stand on their chances heading into this EuroLeague season?
I agree with you. I think they're going to be very entertaining. I think they will have a bounce back season, but that doesn't mean they will be contenders. That doesn't mean they will make the playoffs. I think they can do it, but it's so much talent all around. There is a chance they might miss it, just like there is a chance other great teams might miss it, because there are a lot of great teams. I think they will be one of the most entertaining teams to watch. I think they will be very good. I believe they will be in the playoff fight. And I think, like you said, they can be competitive with the top teams. I honestly believe that. And they still have the best player in EuroLeague in my eyes, in Will Clyburn. So hopefully this year they know how to use him. And they will be much better if they do that. So I believe this FS team will be very good. And I'm looking forward to see what they do.
I know this is not a popular take, but we are not trying to be popular. We're trying to give good insights and good breakdowns, good basketball breakdowns in this podcast. I think that the addition of the play-in tournament will be great because I understand the pros of having the top 8 teams moving into the next stage. I'm okay with that. But just imagine the high quality of those games and how competitive it will be to have a play-in in an environment as is the EuroLeague that is always so extremely competitive, where you will have the teams that are playing for those spots going against each other. Are you a fan of it as I am?
Oh, absolutely. I think the next step for EuroLeague is to have a 16-team playoff. And I think that would be even better because there are so many great teams. Yeah, of course. No, but in all seriousness, I think the play-in is a great idea. I think it brings even more competition to EuroLeague, which is already one of the most competitive leagues in the world. So I think it's a positive thing for the competition. And I think those playing games with the type of crowds we have in EuroLeague, I think are going to be amazing and the crowds will be on fire. So I believe it's going to be great.
Quite literally.
And I think literally, honestly, especially if a game is like in Red Star's house or Partizan, I think that will be awesome. So yeah, I think it's obviously a positive thing for EuroLeague and I'm a big fan of that for sure.
Why EuroLeague has some of the best basketball in the world is because of how competitive it is and how hard fought the games can be, while at the same time having an insanely high level of basketball execution, players, coaching, and then the most amazing fans, bases of basketball across the whole planet. And those things are just enhanced when we get to a play-in environment and to a play-in competition to fight to be on the playoffs. And as we know, it is very important to be a top seed, and usually those have a very good chance to make it into the Final Four because having that home court advantage in a 5-game playoff series is very, very beneficial for anyone, and especially in the EuroLeague. But I won't let you go get away of it in this episode, and I have a very hard question for you. I'm sure you are prepared for, but I need to give it to you. And who is the best five of this FS team? Who is the five that you would like to see on the court? And who does that five include?
That's a tough question because it goes back to the doubt. Do you play Clyburn at the three or the four? He is the three, of course. But for the lineup they have, I think I would go with him at the four because I just think you have to play Darius Thompson, Shane Larkin, and I think Elijah Bryant brings so many great things to this team that I really think he needs to be on the floor. So I would put him at the three and Clyburn at the four with Ty Jones at the five. What about you?
I have a very similar approach to it, and I think it very similarly. I think that Elijah Bryant needs to be there. I just wonder if there will be some matchups and I think you need to have Larkin in there as well, especially now that Misic is gone. I just wonder if, because they have some flexibility, they can go with bigger bodies that can perform in Darius Thompson, Elijah Bryant, and Clyburn at 1, 2, and 3, but that we are leaving Larkin outside of that five. And at the same time, I think the centers can be somewhat interchangeable. Just the lineup of Ty Jones, Will Clyburn, Bryant, and Darius Thompson with likely Larkin in it. It's just the ability for the team to perform, the physicality, the size, the ability to defend and to play both sides of the court for makes that one of my, I wouldn't call it favorite fives, but one of the fives that I'm more excited to watch during this edition of the EuroLeague because I think we will have many highlights and we also have a five that can close games and can be one of the strongest five of the EuroLeague. And we keep saying this episode after episode. And when we compare with other teams, the level of talent is just insanely high. But I think that IFAS will be a very competitive team. And I think this will be a bounce back season for them, even if I might not be favoring them to win it all or even to be a lock for the Final Four. But that's because the level of the EuroLeague is that high and we have that many teams that are competing and have legit aspirations to fight at the very least for a Final Four. This takes us to the end of another European Hoops podcast episode. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ETHOS EuroLeague, and I will be talking with you guys soon.
Bye guys, see you on next episode.